stir me from my slumber. I'm the Eternal Dragon. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 90, just in case anybody that can't count don't know what 90 means, of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. 90 episodes. Crazy. That means we're 10 episodes away from episode 100. That's a pretty big milestone. I'm going to be optimistic right now and say we'll make it to that. Because while that's not that long away or far from now, it is kind of far from now because it's also 10 episodes, right? And that's a roughly 8 weeks or so. Not counting any weeks that we won't get an episode because of Christmas and New Year's and whatever else. Okay, so it's even longer when you think about it like that. But, you know, it's something to be excited about. I'm still working on a pretty big project for you guys, something that I'm going to release at some point. Maybe it'll be out right in time for episode 100. I don't think it'll be out after that. Preferably, it'll be done before that, though. But anyway, you know, I like to throw out little teasers every now and then, but I'm not going to get into too much detail as about what that is because it's a surprise, okay? Anyway, welcome, of course, to episode 90 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. Of course, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. Head over there. I didn't really get any likes trickling in this week. You know, it was kind of we had gotten to sort of a good rhythm where the previous 2 weeks I got some likes trickling in. I don't think I got any this week. I'm not sure. So by all means, if by some reason, for some reason you still haven't liked that page, go over there and give it a like. Of course, you can leave me reviews as well. I made a couple posts to talk about this on the last episode of the podcast. I made a couple posts with some screenshots to hopefully make it easier for you guys to leave reviews. I completely forgot I was supposed to actually send Andrew, right, some links to leave reviews. But here's the thing, Andrew. This is Andrew number 2, by the way. There's not really a way to send a link for reviews, right? The way that it's set up through iTunes is that's, you know, iTunes review system is sort of an internal sort of software based system, right? So it's not like you can really like post a link for someone to review something. You kind of just have to navigate through your own iTunes or your own Apple Podcast app to leave a review, but it's very simple. I mean, you go to wherever you find the type in Rock the Dragon podcast. It'll come up in the search bar, scroll down, it'll say leave a review, and it'll say ratings and reviews, and all you have to do is go there to leave a review. Some of the other outlets may take a little bit more than that. I'm not as familiar with those, but you know, just do a little looking around. You should be able to find out. Let me know if you're running any crazy problems, but it should be pretty easy to leave a review there. I haven't gotten any new ones this week, so by all means, if you're on the fence about it, just take a second out of your day and go leave me a review over there. If I sound a little bit weird, it's because today I woke up and I had a bit of a stuffy nose, and I've been doing so well. I was doing so well at fighting catching any sort of a cold or having any sort of a problem like that. You know, when everyone else around me seemed like they were dying and sneezing all over the place, I was chilling because I was doing well. Now it seems to be finally catching me a little bit, but I'm not going to, you know, jump the gun just yet. You know, I got a pretty good immune system, and I'm going to hope that it kicks in and kicks this thing's ass so I can enjoy the rest of my week. Anyway, I hope you guys have been having a great week. Yeah, so if you have any questions, concerns about anything, you know, we have an email segment here on the podcast. It's called What Are You Saying? So if you have any emails that you want to send in, please send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. With that being said, we do have 2 emails that we're going to read here on this episode. And then, of course, we're going to jump into the episode talk for the week as per usual. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump into it. The first email I have here is a little bit of a lengthy one, but that's okay, and that's why I'm kind of just getting to the point here, because this one may take a couple minutes. This one is from Ricky. Ricky's a longtime frequent listener. Ricky writes, Universe 7 Fighters Current Power Levels. Ricky writes, Hey Tim, the Universe 7 team has finally been formed, or so we think. I want to take this moment to run through each of the fighters of Universe 7 and determine their relative power level when compared to either Goku or Frieza. I'll start from the least powerful and work my way up. At the bottom is Krillin, who wins his fights with strategy in place of brute force. Sadly, we have yet to see him physically hold his own against any other Z fighters, including his wife 18, putting him in 10th. In 9th, and it pains me to say it, we have Tien. Tien has been training in isolation since the Cell Saga, so I was hoping to see a drastic increase in power. But after watching him get his butt handed to him by Master Roshi, even after performing the Four Witches technique, which we haven't seen since Dragon Ball. This brings us to number 8, Master Roshi. Master Roshi at max power was actually able to match blows with Goku in his base form. Goku even referenced the kind of training Roshi must have been doing to have that kind of strength. We know that Goku in his base form can match Frieza in his final form, which for that kind of power to be coming from Master Roshi is pretty impressive. Number 7, and this was a tough decision, Android 18. We know that she hasn't really been doing any training, but at her conception in Dragon Ball Z, she was much stronger than Vegeta at Super Saiyan. I don't think that still holds up because of the training Goku and Vegeta have done, but I don't think her power level has decreased by any means either. Solid 7. Number 6. This is kind of a toss-up with 5th place, Majin Buu. Buu is really hard to gauge because of his persona. It's hard to tell when he's even trying. Is he smart? Is he dumb? Can he regenerate instantly? He faced off with Goku at Super Saiyan 3 in DBZ, but only at Goku's base form in Super. What is this guy's deal? That's why he is 6th. He is too much of a wild card. He might be strong, but it might mean nothing. Number 5, Piccolo. Piccolo actually surprised me with how strong he is when facing off with Gohan. He didn't only overpower Gohan at Super Saiyan 1 and 2, but he also was able to get the drop on Gohan once he had become Ultimate Gohan. He is probably the smartest of the Z fighters due to him sharing brains with 3 other highly experienced Namekians, Nail, Kami, and King Piccolo. I look forward to seeing his arc in the Tournament of Power. Number 4 through 2 are all somewhat interchangeable, but if order needs to be given, this is it. Number 4, Gohan. With him awakening his latent abilities again, Gohan is definitely a force to be reckoned with. We've seen that he can match Goku with Super Saiyan forms. We can assume that Ultimate Gohan is stronger than Super Saiyan 3. The question is, how much stronger? I'm sure we will know soon. Number 3, Android 17. 17 is definitely an enigma as far as how he developed his power, but we saw him match blows pretty easily with Goku even at Super Saiyan Blue, so we can assume he is at least that strong. Now the question is, how much stronger is he? Number 2, Vegeta. We saw Vegeta go through a huge increase in power over the course of the Goku Black Saga. At Super Saiyan Blue, he is easily Goku's equal, but there is one big red check mark that's keeping him from number 1. Number 1, Goku. He has Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken. How are any of the other Z fighters supposed to compete with that? I look forward to the Tournament of Power and to see how this ranking changes. Let me know if your list is the same and I'll be listening. Nice talking to you as always, Ricky. Ricky, thanks for writing in as always. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Oh, I missed your PS down here. Your PS says, when did you become so strong, Piccolo? Gohan faints. And it also says, you're telling me Piccolo couldn't have beat Frost? Ricky. You know what? I'll just talk about that first. As far as Piccolo beating Frost. Now, when I read that the first time, I thought I recalled that Piccolo could have beat Frost, but he got poisoned, right? So I went back to kind of watch the episode again to make sure. And sure enough, he got poisoned. Now, he had to use his, you know, he wasn't stronger than Frost, but he was smarter than Frost. Because you remember, he sort of, he outsmarted him. You know, he kind of baited him into a certain move, and then he wrapped his arm around him and just kept him trapped while he was charging up the special beam cannon, and had things continued to go well, I you know, we can assume that he would have finished Frost off with that special beam cannon, because we've learned many times before that that's a very powerful technique. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how much weaker Piccolo may be than you. If he hits you with that thing and you can't move out of the way or deflect it or anything like that, he can drill a hole right through you with it. So it's safe to assume that probably would have happened, but then Frost pricked him with that little needle and then he poisoned him. So I guess technically he could have beat Frost. Now, also, I'm not exactly sure how much time has passed between the Destroyer tournament and now, but he's clearly become stronger since then. I mean, we just have to assume that Piccolo's been doing a lot of training on his own between then and now. Okay, so that being said, let's talk about your list a little bit. I didn't come up with a ranking. I just didn't really think about that. I didn't think about ranking the fighters and their current power levels in Universe 7. What you say here seems pretty accurate. I mean, you know, there's a lot of facts, a lot of details in here that I'm not going to fact check or anything like that because it's just not what I do. But someone else may fact check it. But, you know, it sounds right. I don't remember everything that has happened in Dragon Ball Z. You know, sometimes I have to sit back and actually really kind of think about shit. But it sounds right. So, let's say you say number 10 would be Krillin. It's very difficult to rank these, and I know you're only ranking these guys based on what you've seen basically in the past couple of episodes, because that's all you can really kind of base this on. But I feel like it's hard to rank these fighters unless you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're giving it their all. Okay, and we never know that in Dragon Ball, right? Because there's been so many times where people have been fighting and you thought that they were fighting with their 100% strength, and you find out, oh wait, no, you're still holding back, you know what I mean? And like, all we've seen are these characters sparring with one another, right? Even this episode, I mean, yeah, sure, you can say Goku and Gohan gave it 100% this episode, but they didn't really give it 100%, right? Because I mean, if Goku gave it 100%, he could have killed Gohan. You know what I mean? So like, there's always going to be some sort of level of restraint when they're sparring. So I don't know if it's enough information to really sort of rank these characters, because you were talking about Majin Buu, for instance. You have Majin Buu listed as number 5, and that's just basically, you know, I know what you're saying. It's based off their previous fights, and of course you're comparing them with Frieza and a little bit of what we've seen now. But who knows where Buu falls on that list now, right? Because last time we saw Buu, he lost a ton of weight. he was in really good shape. So you can assume that his power level has gone up a lot since then. So he may not even be at number 5 anymore. He may be higher than that. So who knows, right? So I didn't really come up with a list or anything. But I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And let's see. You've got Android number 17 at number 3. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, right? Like, I'm not, based on what we saw of Android 17, he was going sort of toe-to-toe with Super Saiyan Blue Goku. I'm hoping that doesn't mean that he's just as strong as that, though, right? Because once again, we have no reason to believe that he was giving it his all, you know, because he knew he was sparring. And we also have no reason to believe that Goku was giving it his all either. I mean, sure, he may have powered up as far as he could go, but he didn't really, did he? Because he didn't even go all the way up to Kaioken against 17. But my point is that unless it's a real fight where no one's like worried about killing the other person or hurting the other person, it's hard for me to rank these characters, because I don't think we're seeing any of them at their strongest when they're just training, right? It's not until they get into a fight and we start to see all the techniques that they have. Krillin apparently still has a couple more techniques that we haven't seen yet, so maybe he will be bumped up that list a lot after the Tournament of Power starts, you know? But I mean, don't get me wrong, I get it. This is your ranking as of what you know right now. But from my perspective, it's hard for me to try to sort of come up with any sort of a list, because I keep thinking about, well, what about all the things that we don't know about, and people not necessarily probably not even training at, sort of sparring at their fullest strength. So Very cool list, though, there, Ricky. I appreciate you doing that. If anyone agrees or disagrees with anything that Ricky had in that list, send me an email. I'll read yours, too. Let me know what you think about it. Let me know what you think about what are you saying about Ricky's list. Okay. Second email here is from Jalen. Jalen, good to hear from you again. Jalen writes, "Yo, Tim, episode 85, the Tien episode, was not a particularly good episode. It drops the ball on Tien so hard it's unforgivable. First thing, Yurine, she did not exist in the series up until this episode, which is an issue because there was already a character who played this sort of role in Tien's life. Launch is a character introduced in the second arc of Dragon Ball. She's a personality-switching woman who changes from a calm, mild-mannered, blue-haired woman to a rowdy, malicious, blonde-haired criminal, and vice versa after sneezing. She falls in love with Tien somewhere between the 22nd and 23rd World Tournaments. Tien did not reflect those feelings back to her, but she continued to stalk him until Dragon Ball Z, where Toriyama pretty much forgot about her and she faded into obscurity, and Launch was a fairly active character. And I'd say 60% of Dragon Ball, so she's not a one-off gag character. It would have made more sense to have Launch appear at Tien's dojo, wanting revenge for abandoning her for about 17 years or never showing her any affection or love after she perceived she did for him." Sorry, you've got some typos in here, Jalen. If I kind of stutter a little bit, that's because I'm trying to piece this together. Okay. "Rather than making a new character who just wants revenge for Tien leaving the Crane School. And also, they made Tien lose to Master Roshi. Tien, the dude who held back Cell and deflected a ki blast from Buu Tanks, can't handle Master Roshi. Tien deserves better, man. First Cell takes his multi-form technique, Gotenks takes his volleyball fist, and then the writers pretty much hand the solar flare to Krillin as if he was the one who made it. Tien made that move. They can't keep doing this to him." Excuse me. I'm getting a little mucusy. Jalen, thanks so much for writing in. So it kind of bugged you, huh? The Tien episode kind of bugged you. It bugged me too. And I kind of talked about this in the last episode. I mean, for sort of like many, many different reasons. I just realized you said episode 85, by the way, in your email. That was episode 89, right? It was a TN episode. Yeah, it was the last one. So for anyone who was listening to that and saying, "Wait, episode 85? Yeah, I think, Jalen, you meant episode 89 there. It kind of let me down too. But I listened to episode 89, and I'll tell you why. There just was a lot of weird stuff going on with Roshi in there. I didn't particularly care at all about that sort of history between Tien and Yurine. Like, I didn't, you know, and according to you, there is no history that has been sort of at least documented on the anime of it. You're saying that she didn't even exist until this episode, I'm going to trust you on that because I don't know, right? All I knew is that I wasn't familiar with her. I wasn't sure if she was a character from Dragon Ball or something like that. And so I didn't really buy into any of that. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't exciting. I didn't care, right? I feel like, a lot of times whenever they have these sort of filler type episodes, which I don't really consider this filler because there was some story here. You know, he recruited Tien and Master Roshi and they joined the team. So I don't consider this filler, but it has that filler sort of feeling to it, right? Where they just kind of off somewhere else and this miniature villain shows up. Someone who's not a real threat to anybody, and they just kind of fight these little minions for the episode, and that's kind of what happened. And so it wasn't really the most exciting episode in that way. So you're saying that you think you've been giving Tien kind of a hard time. He's been kind of getting the shaft for a while. I agree with that. I mean, I've always liked Tien a lot. I think the Tournament of Power is an opportunity to get him back into the fight, as well as some of these other characters that we've been kind of missing and that have probably gotten ignored and kind of been, you know, given the cold shoulder over time. And I think that's why we have characters like Master Roshi and Tien in this thing. I said this before, I think it would have been a good opportunity to get Yamcha back involved in all of this too. Who knows? Maybe when it's all said and done. I mean, I don't know how this thing is going to turn out or how it's going to end. Somehow, Boo ends up being fat again. So I don't, I mean, if we're gonna go on what we've seen so far, so there's obviously a lot of stuff that's still gonna happen. So maybe Qian will get his, you know, his due here. You know, maybe throughout all of this, he'll end up, you know, being one of the top fighters, and just kind of, you know, really just kind of working this thing out. And yeah, I remember launch very well. Yeah, I remember launch. She would sneeze and then her hair would turn blonde, and all of a sudden she'd be angry and she'd have a Tommy gun all of a sudden. Yeah, I remember launch. So yeah, right. It might have been a better idea to just bring her in there instead of making up some new character, assuming that that's accurate, just for the sake of, you know, this storyline. Maybe it would have meant more. I know personally, I would have been super excited to see launch, because that is a character that they just kind of just dropped and didn't really explain why. So would have been kind of cool to see that as well. But yeah, so I hear you. There were definitely some things that could have been done differently in that episode to make it better. But all in all, I still don't have any like major complaints about it. It just wasn't kind of, it might have been sort of my least favorite episode of the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 or so out of all. But, you know, that's okay. Especially because they came back with this episode, which was just pretty awesome, right? And man, I forgot. I'm going to backtrack for a minute here. I'm going to back up to the previous email because I forgot that there was something I wanted to mention. Okay. First of all, Jalen, thanks so much for writing in. And yeah, we'll see what happens with Tian. But I do want to back up for a second to the previous email, because I mentioned that I went back and rewatched the footage between Piccolo and Frost. Right? Because I was like, well, I'm pretty sure Piccolo almost beat Frost, but he poisoned him. Now, I don't know when the last time you guys went back and watched those episodes and or any of that stuff. And I mean, I'm sure the people who watched the sub probably already have put two and two together here and maybe noticed this. But if you go back and watch and you look at remember the ring announcer for the Destroyer tournament? You know, there was a guy who was like doing the commentary and like he was the referee for the Destroyer tournament. I completely forgotten about this in, you know, I mean, how would I, why wouldn't I have? But I mean, I went and I watched that, and that ring announcer, that guy looks a lot like Jiren, right? So like, you know, Jiren from the one that they've kind of sort of been hinting at in Universe 11. He's apparently a part of the Pride Troopers, and they were saying that, oh, wait till my buddy Jiren gets here, you know? But that guy looks a lot like Jiren. You know, he's got a very similar outfit on, for one, and he also kind of has that alien type face. So that's just something I noticed upon going back and watching the, you know, just that part of the episode of the Destroyer tournament. So I think it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to think, but is it safe to assume that the announcer is at least from Universe 11, or he may be somehow tied into Jiren, or I don't know. But nice little sort of a Easter egg of sorts there. I'm going to assume it's not a coincidence, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I feel like I'm really like out of it this episode. Forgive me, guys. I'm just like on the onset of a cold here or something. So I'm just kind of out of it. Anyway, so let's jump into the episode talk for this week, right? So of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast is going to cover episode 90 of Dragon Ball Super, titled "Staring Down the Wall to Be Overcome: Goku versus Gohan." I mean, is there anything to not like about that title? I don't think so. So yeah, you know, obviously we're continuing on with this sort of in-between transition into the Tournament of Power, where we're starting to see, we're spending some time with each one of our fighters from Universe 7, and even some time with some of the characters from the other universes, which is great. Once again, we haven't spent any time with Vegeta yet, but there's still time. I mean, I think at the end of this, there's still 4 hours and 30 minutes left before the start of the tournament. Who knows? I mean, they can squeeze however many episodes in that time as they want, honestly. But I would like to see some time with Vegeta there, because, I mean, we've gotten to everyone else more than once, really. But obviously, is going to be some sort of a what we can assume is a sparring match between Goku and Gohan here. So yeah, we know we got some interesting stuff to look forward to this episode. So the episode kind of picks up with Piccolo and Gohan just kind of chilling, right? Because remember, they were kind of just talking about continuing the training because, you know, Piccolo decided he wanted Gohan to push even further. And Gohan said, yeah, I'm down with that. And at this point, they kind of skipped ahead, and we can assume that maybe he's trained a little bit more, but he needs to test his powers out, right? And they're saying that the ultimate way to test your powers is, you know, is we have to go see you-know-who. So we kind of see how this is coming about. We know that this is going to be just basically a test of Gohan's powers. And the best way for him to test it out, in their opinion, is to go fight, fight Goku. So we see Goku and Master Roshi and Tien and Chao Tzu. They're all at this restaurant. Goku, of course, is Goku is pretty much just doing some major damage in there. Even Tien's like, man, they're going to clean me out. And Roshi's saying, hey, like, we still have, you know, a good bit of time left before the tournament starts. So what are we going to do in the meantime? Goku suggests that Roshi train him again, which I thought was kind of a cool idea, because once again, no matter how old Roshi gets and how strong his pupils get, they always seem to learn something from him. So maybe we'll still get that, even though that didn't happen here. Maybe we'll still get it. But it's kind of interrupted because Gohan and Piccolo walk in there looking like the most badass buddy cop team you've ever seen. So yeah, he basically just comes in there and says, look, I need to test my power. So let's do it, Dad. And Goku just kind of sits there with a smile on his face. And then we cut to this awesome looking scene, man. You know, one thing I really love about Super is that we get a lot of nighttime scenes. I feel like we didn't get a lot of scenes that took place at night in Dragon Ball Z. We got them in a lot of the movies, but like, it just didn't seem like it never really happened on the show much. But of course now it kind of has to happen because we're literally going, we can say that these episodes are taking place in quote unquote real time, I guess, right? Because it's actually a countdown to the start of the tournament. So they have to go through the span of a day. So we see daytime, we see afternoon, we see evening, we see night. You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool that they're really paying that much attention to the detail of it. So, you know, we realize pretty quickly here that this is not necessarily Goku versus Gohan yet. Now, this is actually going to be sort of a tag team battle royale type fight with Tien and Goku versus Piccolo and Gohan. So, I mean, this is, once again, nothing to not like about this, right? Everyone's getting to test out their powers here. I mean, Gohan is the one who wanted to test his, but hell, I'm sure Tien and Piccolo needed to jump back in the ring too to see what was going on. And we got Roshi, you know, just kind of watching the sideline, being the Roshi that I, you know, a very cool and calm Roshi, very much unlike, you know, SSP Roshi that he was on the previous episode. Now he's super calm again. He powered down, thank goodness. And now he's just kind of, you know, being wise Roshi on the sideline. But yeah, so we got this tag team going, and they really just kind of jump into it pretty quickly. I mean, Gohan and Goku just kind of rush each other, and they're just kind of going at it really quickly, just for a quick second there. I forgot to mention that Tien was kind of being a little bit of a wet blanket by saying, well, let's make sure, you know, this doesn't go too far, and let's stop it, you know, because we don't want people to be injured for the tournament. I mean, he's making a good point, but still, it's just kind of weird because he comes back later on and he seems to be, it's almost like he's scared or something. But then they both rush over, you know, because Piccolo starts to power up. Tien says, maybe we should, you know, throw the first strike. He rushes over, gets gut punched super hard by Gohan. It goes down. Gohan shoots him in the air, powers up. And then he and Goku just kind of clash and start going at it. Now, once again, when they're fighting, there's not much for me to talk about. I can't dissect the fighting much. So I can just say that we get some pretty cool looking stuff here, where they're kind of going at it. you know, for a good bit. And we get this moment where Tien kind of recovers and he's for some reason, I mean, going after Gohan while Piccolo's just powering up. he's getting ready for the with the tri-beam. And Goku's like, don't worry about Gohan, get Piccolo. I mean, yeah, because Piccolo's just over there just powering up the entire time. So he focuses his cannon on Piccolo, but then Gohan kind of catches wind of it and just kind of cuts him off. You know, just kind of sends over this little energy wave. And then he pretty much pummels Tien into the ground really quickly. And then they kind of get back, he and Goku get back into it, but then Piccolo's kind of behind him. So at this point, you can kind of tell that there's a tag team sort of technique going on here, right? Because, I mean, it's just kind of obvious at this point that there's a plan. So Piccolo unleashes this big, you know, this big thing that he does, where he has kind of this big force field of energy that just kind of pushes Goku back and destroys a bunch of shit. Other than that, it doesn't do much, but it does kind of distract Goku long enough for Gohan to get in there and sort of deliver a good punch, which when they first show it, you don't know if he connects with it or not. But then you see that, you know, Goku actually caught his hand. I don't think I've talked much about this, but in Super, they've sort of introduced this whole thing now to where when someone punches something, like, it has sort of this energy reverberation that happens after the fact. And I'm not saying that never happened in Dragon Ball Z. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is in Super, they've definitely, like, made it a thing. Like, they've made a point. You know, when someone throws a super hard punch, you can see like this, like the energy just kind of like reverberate off of the hit. And we got a really big one there, which I liked a lot. And I thought it looked very cool. Of course, it didn't really do anything, right? Because Goku caught Gohan's hand. But he does say, hey, props, because that was sort of a combo move that you guys use. And, you know, maybe with both of y'all, you know, you might have a chance. And then Tien comes back holding his stomach. I mean, Tien's gotten hit one time at this point. He's sweating. He's dirty. He's holding his stomach and he's trying to stop the fight. It's like, come on, man. You're right. You're right, Jalen. They're doing Tien wrong now. Tien is so quick to want to stop this fight after being hit one time in the gut. That's a Yamcha or Krillin move right there. That's not a Tien move. That's something Krillin would say. But I mean, you know, Tien's he's trying to think about the big picture here. They're about 4 hours away from the Tournament of Power. Okay, they don't need to be going this hard against each other. And meanwhile, he's also saying, yeah, you've destroyed our ring. So what's the point now? You know, so he's trying to call it off and he's trying to get Gohan to call it off. He's trying to get Goku to call it off. Goku's like, okay, yeah, fair enough. I think we've done enough. Gohan, you've shown me your power, you know, yada, yada, yada. Good job. Impressed. But Gohan's like not having it. He's like, yeah, no, sorry. I'm, you know, let's go one on one. Me and you, I really need to test my strength out. So, you know, you don't have to tell Goku more than once. He likes to fight any damn way. So, of course, he powers up. He powers up. And and that's a good time as any to kind of transition to something else, right? And we go to a place that I was not expecting to see. And that is Universe 10, where we see Goasu at his little compound, his little area. He's kind of having a hard time because he's saying, man, I can't believe it's up to me to decide who our participants in the Tournament of Power are going to be. The last time someone left something up to me to as far as choosing someone for something, it ended up being Zamasu. And I'm kind of glad that they actually touched upon that. It's good writing to have him, you know, doubt himself, because, you know, he was so wrong about the last person. So now he doesn't know what to do. And that's when the cocky destroyer god walks up and, starts giving him like a hard time about it and saying that, you know what, you know, you're overthinking it or whatever. Let's just pick people based on strength or whatever. And so he kind of introduces some people that he chose. Most of them are standing there cloaked. So we don't know what they look like yet, but there is one guy standing out front. Very interesting looking guy, but you know, he's doing the typical loud mouth, but can't really back it up sort of Dragon Ball thing. Now, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out in the Tournament of Power, but usually when characters show up like this, they don't end up being very strong. Especially now, because this guy is saying how they're just going to focus on nothing but muscle, and that's it. And I don't know why anyone would think that that's a good idea, but who knows? Okay, so, and then there's a moment where they pull out these protein shakes and they all start downing these protein shakes. Okay, so, I mean, clearly, we're not supposed to really take these guys seriously, you know? It's like another Ginyu Force or something. Although the Ginyu Force were pretty strong, though. So, you know, maybe it could go either way. They could end up being a big-ass team of weaklings, or they could end up being, like, you know, pretty badass like the Ginyus. Yeah, that's pretty much it for that. So then we go back to Goku and Gohan, and they're taking Senzu beans, which, man, I feel like they take Senzu beans I feel like they just pop Senzu beans now just whenever they feel like it. Remember when Senzu beans were only really used when somebody was, like, about to die? You know what I mean? Now it's just like, oh, you know what? I ran out of breath. Let me pop a Senzu bean. It's like, because Tien is like, well, that was a waste of 2 Senzu beans. I kind of feel like it was, too. I don't feel like they went hard enough just now to justify needing Senzu beans. And considering you guys are just now about to really turn it up, maybe it would have been smarter to save those Senzu beans until after this part of the fight was over, right? yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get that they want to be fully charged up for the Tournament of Power, but you just took the Senzu beans and now you're about to fight again. So why not just wait until it's done to do that? Whatever. So anyway, Gohan pretty much powers up as far as he can possibly go. Once again, I'm not going to get too detailed in all this because, you know, it would just be fight commentary, which would just be kind of weird when you can't see the fight, right? You guys are listening to a podcast. They talk briefly about it. Gohan mentions the fact that, because Goku's saying, man, it's pretty impressive that you powered up, but don't you need to go Super Saiyan? And Gohan is saying, like, no, I don't. You know, I'm taking a different path. That's something I've talked about before. Gohan's paths to power have always been different. You know, the way that he kind of pursued, you know, the way his power works has been different as far as him, you know, getting angry and unleashing, having this latent power. And as far as, you know, just his transformation to Super Saiyan 1 was kind of different than everyone else's. It happened earlier than Vegeta and Goku's. The Super Saiyan 2 was different. And of course, Mystic Saiyan or Ultimate Gohan was a completely different process in itself. So it's basically saying that, you know, this is something I'm going to follow. I'm going to pursue it and take it as far as it can go. And I think it's pretty safe to assume we'll probably never see another Super Saiyan Gohan again. I don't see why we would. And I'm okay with it. I like this. I like Ultimate Gohan. I love that his method is just different, you know, and partially, you know, a lot of that has to do with training under Piccolo, too, I'm sure. You know, he's just very unorthodox, different. He has different teachers, different skills. So it all kind of culminates into this, which is cool. So they just kind of go at it. They go at it for a good minute, a good while here. Once again, I'm not going to sort of dissect all of this. They both get some good shots in there. But at some point, of course, we know that Gohan is going to want Goku to go all the way, you know, all the way. Because at this point, Goku is just at Super Saiyan level 1 or 2, depending on how you want to look at it. So there comes this point where, you know, they have an energy wave battle clash. And it doesn't last very long. Goku kind of slips in there and gets a hit in, and then they kind of go at it again. And then Gohan starts getting some, he starts to get some good shots in. But at the same time, he's starting to yell and be like, don't hold back on me, Dad, because he can clearly tell. You know, I have to make a comment about this fight, like sort of on a side note, is that I remember somehow, you know, I watched a clip online. I didn't see all of it. It was just like, I don't know, maybe like 8 seconds of this scene. But when it originally aired in Japan, and could you imagine what was running through my mind when I saw that online? Because we hadn't gotten to this point yet in the English dub. So all I saw was, for one, Dragon Ball Super looked a little bit different, right? Because they changed up some of the art style and all that. And I saw Goku and Gohan fighting. So I saw this clip that was completely out of context. And so here we are. And that felt like it was ages ago when I saw that. And I remember it now. I was like, yeah, I saw some of this scene in Japanese. Okay, so yeah, they're kind of going at it. And Gohan is just saying, I need you to take this seriously. I need you to, you know, remember, it reminds me of when they were in the hyperbolic time chamber. You know, and Goku was training Gohan, and he was kind of like going easy on him. And Gohan had to tell him, he was like, you can't take it easy on me. You have to. And that's when I remember Goku flying up into the air and freaking, you know, going Super Saiyan and unleashing like a big ass Kamehameha at him. And I think that was the moment we turned Super Saiyan, you know, because he had to sort of reflect that thing. But I could be, my memory could be a little bit messed up there, but it just kind of reminds me of that. So this is happening again. Goku goes all the way up to Super Saiyan Blue. So here's the real sort of test, right? But not only that, he doesn't just stop at Blue. He goes to Kaioken as well, right? So we can assume that he's somewhere close to his max at this point. Now, the reason why this doesn't really prove anything to me necessarily, though, is because even though he's fighting at what could be his full power, he's still not fighting at his full power, right? He's not doing everything that he would be doing against a real villain at this point. And they also, I forgot to mention this, but they cut to Vegeta, which in a very cool moment, to show that he is aware of what's going on. You know, he can kind of feel it and kind of tell what's going on. So we get like this big sort of clash in midair between Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken times whatever Goku and Ultimate Gohan, and Gohan just kind of is the loser in this situation. You can tell. You know, he just kind of faints, falls out, gives a good yell, kind of throws a little punch at Goku, which Goku doesn't even flinch at. And then he falls out of the sky, and they're all standing there watching like, oh no, Gohan. And I'm thinking to myself, Goku's gonna catch him. He's not gonna like let his son crash into the dirt. And sure enough, he teleports down and catches Gohan. Okay, so very cool moment. You know, he says, keep pushing. You know, we'll keep pushing each other. And it's just, I almost wish they would have showed a couple of flashbacks here. You know, if they really wanted to go for a really like emotional moment here, they could have showed some flashbacks of him with Gohan as a kid and like in his hyperbolic time chamber and stuff. But maybe that'll happen later on. So yeah, you know, Gohan basically got a chance to test his strength out here, and they're all kind of standing around talking about it after the fact. And Goku announces that he has decided who the captain of Universe 7 is going to be, the team captain, and decides to make it Gohan. I'm not sure why he decided to do that, based on what. I mean, I guess maybe just the braveness that Gohan has kind of been showing right now. I mean, I feel like Piccolo probably would have been a better choice, but fine. Fine. So yeah, that pretty much does it for the episode. I'm sorry this isn't as involved as it probably normally would have been, but I'm just feeling a little bit under the weather. But this was a really good episode. I mean, it's kind of nothing to dislike about this episode. You know, we got lots of fighting. We got to see Goku and Gohan spar. So it's very cool stuff. And of course, they learn some things about each other. And that's what I've been liking about these sort of in-between episodes, is that they're learning techniques and things about each other and strategy. And now they have a team captain, and you can see this team building. You can see it kind of coming together. Now just give us an episode about Vegeta training, which he doesn't have that much time at this point. So I can't imagine, you know, in 4 hours he'll do much, unless he goes into the hyperbolic time chamber or something, or if he, you know, goes into the gravity room or something, then maybe he'll do something impressive. I don't know. Anyway, what'd you think about that? What are you saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com with any questions, comments, concerns about anything. I'm very excited that we've reached episode 90. Of course, we're not counting the bonus episodes. And we're about 10 episodes away from episode 100. I'd like to say this now while we have enough time. Once again, if you have any, I don't know, any suggestions or ideas for anything cool that you that you'd like to see or hear about for episode 100. Once again, that's still a good ways away, and I can't promise that I'll do it. I can't promise we'll be here in 10 episodes. And I'm not just talking about me. Maybe the world will end, you know, this year at for New Year's. I don't know. But if we are here, take some time to start thinking about some of the things maybe you'd like to hear me talk about. Once again, I am planning something, but I'm hoping to have that out well before episode 96. But we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. Anyway, that being said, guys, I'm going to get out of here because I have to go blow my nose now. So anyway, until next time for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I am Tim Bridgewater, and keep on rocking the dragon.